Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur.
Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 388 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyree, your host, as usual. Today, my guest is Alexandra Watkins. Alexandra has a company based around her website, eatmywords.com, which you'll understand once you listen to the podcast. She's a naming specialist. That nuanced, niched aspect of copywriting where people come up with names for companies and services and products. Like, you ever hear of the Baconator from Wendy's? Well, Alexandra is the one who is responsible for naming that product the Baconator. She also has a book out called Hello, My Name is Awesome, How to Create Brand Names That Stick. And we have a delightful conversation talking about brand names that she's developed for law firms. And as we think about rebranding our law firm, it's never really been easier to do that if you're so inclined. This is an important topic to cover. So without any further delay, here is Alexandra Watkins. Alexandra Watkins, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Thanks, Neil. Great to be here.
Well, I'm delighted to have you with us, Alexandra. Tell our audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today.
Well, I started my career as an advertising copywriter, and every once in a while, I get thrown a bone and get to name something. And I love naming, and I was good at it. It was fun. And I had no idea that naming was a profession. And when I figured that out, I switched gears and became a professional namer. And found a niche for myself, creating names that make people smile instead of scratch their head. Started my firm, Eat My Words. Started out naming a lot of things that make people fat and drunk. Which, Neil,
two of my favorite things.
I know. And I only know that because you mentioned that you would not survive in the gas lamp district in San Diego where I live. Yes, because of those temptations. Among other things. So yeah, that's my claim to fame is I named the Wendy's Baconator. And thank you. Yeah. So, but now, you know, we name everything from, you know, robots to racehorses. And I have named a lot of law firms. So yeah, my firm is Eat My Words.
So one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the podcast is because, you know, I'm mildly familiar with what ad agencies do. And, you know, if you watch Mad Men, you know, on that terrific series, you got a sense of the importance of slogans and catchphrases and what have you. I had no idea that there was a, you know, an even niche down to a specialty involving naming, but it makes, you know, complete sense. And you were kind enough to provide me with a copy of your book, Hello, My Name is Awesome, How to Create Brand Names That Stick. And when I read through this and saw some of the atrocious names of companies and products, I could see why there's a dire need for somebody with the expertise such as yours.
Thank you. Yes, that is true. And I think a lot of those really atrocious names are done by startups that are trying to find an available .com domain name. But luckily with the attorneys, as you know, a lot of times people are naming their practice after themselves or the founding partners and adding on partners and making the name longer. But attorneys are often missing opportunities to create a brand name that actually means something versus their own personal name, which doesn't say anything about what their practice is all about or their style of working or, you know, any real brand attributes.
Well, that's one of the things I wanted to drill down on a little bit. And, you know, one of the things that I think makes this podcast resonate with audiences is they know that I've made and continue to make the same mistakes that they are making, and the ones that really this becomes a podcast is do what we say and not as I do, because I am absolutely guilty of that. My practice is named the Tyra Law Firm. And when I started the firm, that's what I thought you did. You named it after yourself. I've since come to realize what a lost opportunity that is. And it's nothing but inertia that keeps me from rebranding.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So, and part of that is because I'm old, okay? But for our listeners who maybe don't have that inertia or don't have, or aren't known as a procrastinator, talk a little bit about what a successful brand name for your practice might take advantage of and how somebody like yourself would go about trying to create something that's memorable.
Sure. No, that's a good question. I think I can give you a great example of a law firm name, and this, and I think a lot of your listeners can relate to this. So the attorney's name was Leila Banajamali, and she knew she's a San Francisco attorney, and she knew that Leila Banajamali would be hard for people to remember, to spell, to pronounce. Like it had the trifecta of, you know, disadvantages, I should say.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, and a lot of people have difficult names. And if you think about your own personal name, you know, how I'm looking at your name, Neil. Yeah, Tyra. I mean, it's not a, do you say like Tyra Banks? Is that how you get people to know how to spell it?
Yeah, well, I'd say if I married Tyra Banks, she'd be Tyra. And my wife,
oh, I love that.
My wife would be a little disappointed, but
my friend's name is Jolie. And she says, yeah, it's like Angelina Jolie, but my husband is no Brad Pitt.
There you go.
So yeah, very similar. Yeah, I love that. Yeah, so Leila Banajamali, she knew that her name was going to be difficult. And a lot of people have difficult names. And if you think about your own personal name and how difficult that is for you, you know, why would you want to name your practice something that's going to be equally difficult? Is, you know, and obviously you're comfortable enough with it. Your name isn't terrible. But Leila Banajamali, she knew that there would be some issues. So she worked primarily with startups in San Francisco who were doing all of their foundational documents. So she wanted a name that spoke to that. So we ideated around that whole concept of foundation in the beginning, all of that. And we came up with her name, which is Bedrock. So it's Bedrock, and her tagline is where it all begins. Which is really nice, right?
Yeah. It conveys an image right off the bat.
Yeah, it makes a strong emotional connection. So she said something amazing happened when she changed her name. She started attracting the type of clients that she wanted to work with. And that's what a great name can do. It can be a magnet for who you do want to work with. And it can also close the door on people that you might not want to work with. So if, you know, maybe there's people that think Bedrock is a little too flip for them, or a little, you know, it's not traditional enough, for instance. That's okay if she doesn't want to work with traditional clients. You know, she wants to work with cool people that, you know, she's very young and she has a great spirit about her. She's really, you know, just a lively, interesting person. And I think that's who she wanted to attract as clients. And the name definitely worked for her.
Well, I know that one of the justifications for creating a law firm name that isn't dependent upon the principal's surname is that if you ever hope to sell the practice, you know, you're not going to be associated with it anymore. So you're not creating a brand that's marketable as a sellable entity. And I would say with Bedrock, now she is creating that, for lack of a better word, foundation for what may happen down the road.
I completely agree. I think that is huge. And that's a great reason alone why you shouldn't name your brand after yourself. And that applies to every industry.
Yeah. Well, in the legal industry, we also have some restrictions too, as you know. I remember one law firm that caught Calm on the carpet for naming themselves and associate when there were no associates. They had anticipated, hiring people in the future, but when they began, there were no associates. And I don't know how bar counsel found out about that, whether somebody turned them in or something, but that was my first experience or introduction to be careful how you name your law firm. It's not something you just cavalierly do.
Yeah, that's interesting. I did. Wait, the whole name was, so it was name and associates?
Yeah, it's like Tyra and associate.
Wow, and someone turned him in because they didn't have associates.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. But they were called on the carpet by bar counsel, and they were forced to change their name. And they changed it to essentially the Tyra Law Group.
Right.
And that was different because associates conveys that you have associate attorneys, whereas the law group suggested that you have other employees. I think that's how they finessed it.
Interesting. So what do you, because every time we name law firms, is it legal? Like I just named a firm for this guy specializes in helping veterans. And that was a really great exploration because we could really focus on words that would appeal to veterans and that whole theme of veterans. But, we were deciding, should it be law group, legal? Do you have attorneys at law? Do you have a preference on those?
Not really. I've seen lots of firms, the so-and-so law group, the so-and-so law firm, law associate. Different types of iterations of that. I think where you get some concerns is when, again, we as attorneys like to think we're the smartest folks in the room, right? When we're not always. And so they get this idea, some people get this idea, I need to brand my firm consistent with, say, the practice that I want to have. So if I want to do family law, I'm not going to name my law firm Rockville Family Lawyers because I can do all this. It sounds great. I get great SEO mileage out of that, but it's just so impersonal. It says it doesn't have any creativity to it. It may be utilitarian, but just me personally, I would find that to be kind of boring. And when I was reading in your book, you have this mnemonic for how to create or how to come up or develop super sticky name. And when I think of something like Rockville Family Lawyers, that sounds like a search term, not the name of a firm.
Yeah. And the mnemonic is smile and scratch, and it's based on my philosophy that a name should make you smile instead of scratch your head.
Just so great. Because it's really two mnemonics giving away a little bit of the book here. It's really two mnemonics, but you remember it with the one phrase, smile and scratch.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
Yeah, and smile is an acronym for the five qualities that make a name great. And scratch is an acronym for if it makes you scratch your head, scratch it off the list. So those are the deal breakers, the seven deadly deal breakers. So yeah, Layla Bennett Jamali's name would have failed the scratch test, the smile and scratch test. But yeah, so do you want me to go through those really quick?
Yeah, let's do that if you want.
Sure. Yeah, sure. Sure. Yeah, so smile are the five qualities that make a name awesome. It's suggestive. That's the S. It suggests something positive about your brand or what your brand is or does. So bedrock, for instance, you know, foundational documents. The M in smile stands for memorable. Everyone wants a memorable name, but what makes it memorable? Well, research shows that people remember things that they already have an association with. So we all know bedrock, for instance, from the Flintstones. You might know it, just sure. The word bedrock on its own. So we have an association with it. So that makes it easier to remember than Layla Banajamali. No association. We might know Layla from, you know, the Eric Clapton song. That would be easy to remember. But Banajamali, probably not. The I in smile stands for imagery. When people hear your name or see it and they can picture something in their head, it's going to make it easier for them to recall later. So again, aiding in memory. So a name, here's one that I like. This is a cannabis attorney, and her name is Lauren Vasquez, and she has a moniker. So it's not the name of her firm, but it's what she calls herself. She calls herself the Fired Up Attorney. So, you know, that is great imagery, right?
Right.
Yeah, I like that one. And then the L in smile stands for legs. And legs means that your name lends itself to a theme. We named a litigation firm in San Francisco, a San Francisco theme name, which is Tectonic. And they specialize in, well, I'll tell you their tagline. It's Tectonic. Rock solid representation for groundbreaking industries.
So wow, that's three images right there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we named a cannabis brand. This is one of my favorite names that I came up with, this one. It's an edibles, like very high end fancy edibles for women of a certain age. At the time that we named them, cannabis wasn't legal. It was, you could get, in California, you could get a medical cannabis card, but you couldn't just go into a dispensary, you know, without one. And so this was for women of a certain age who wouldn't be caught dead going into a dispensary. And, you know, back when they were kind of like sketchy, you know, now, of course, there's some really nice ones. Not, I've heard, you know, not that I've ever been in one. But we named it, Garden Society. So it's kind of a wink wink name, what I call. And so they, Tectonic, the attorneys there represented them and won in some litigation. But then they said, hey, the founding attorney said, we want a cool name too. So that's where Tectonic came from. But yeah, so they do groundbreaking industries. So it could be, they're doing cannabis. They'll get into the drugs that are now being used to treat the psychedelics that are being used to treat mental illness. So that, and, you know, crypto, any groundbreaking industries. Yeah. So yeah, so that's a name that has great legs to it, that the L in smile. So the name lends itself to a theme. And so Eat My Words, for instance, my name, you know, our blog is called The Kitchen Sink. You know, I just introduced a new package. It's called Fun Size, you know, like fun size candy. Uh-huh. So, yeah. So if you have a theme, you can really extend your brand. And then the E in smile stands for emotional. And that simply means that your name makes an emotional connection and it resonates with people. And that's what you will never get from using your own personal name. And that's why, you know, having a name like a Tectonic, those are the names that make those emotional connections.
I can see that so clearly.
Support for today's episode comes from Ruby, the number one client communication solution for growing legal practices. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Ruby creates exceptional experiences for your callers and website visitors. They take messages, screen and transfer callers, schedule appointments, perform new client intake, confirm details with outbound calls,
and can answer in English and Spanish and a whole lot more. Just like an in-house receptionist, only better, because they turn every ring into a relationship. Ruby can work full-time, part-time, or as a backup, and you can change your instructions anytime with their top-rated mobile app and online dashboard. Plus, Ruby integrates with tools such as Clio, Lexaclara, MyCase, and Rocket Matter. It all adds up to more opportunities and more time saved. In fact, 90% of legal professionals who use Ruby capture more billable hours than the national average, with many recording double or more. That's 5 or more billable hours per day. To experience the Ruby difference for yourself, visit get.ruby.com/ELE. That's get.ruby.com/TLE, as in the law entrepreneur, for up to $150 off your first month. Imagine you, powered by Ruby. As a law firm owner, you take responsibility for driving more revenue for your firm. But how much of that revenue ends up as bottom line profit? Ryan Kimmler, the net profit CFO, helps law firms drive more top line revenue to bottom line profit. His two game-changing tools are the scorecard, so you can actually know what your numbers are and can make informed decisions, and the action plan, so you know how to get your numbers where you want them to be and drive more net profit. To learn more about Ryan, check out episode 306 of The Law Entrepreneur, and you can get a free profit acceleration call by going to go.oncehub, that's O-N-C-E-H-U-B, go.oncehub.com/profit. I will also tell you, just as an aside, I am a client of Ryan's. I've been working with him for the past 6 months. Frankly, ever since he did that episode with me, I signed on with him to be a client. And I've been thrilled with the kind of information and insight he's been able to give me. So do yourself a favor, you know, get that free call and check out Ryan Kimmler at netprofit.com. I'll give you a couple examples from around here. I did work with a law firm. They rebranded as Magellan Law Group.
Yep.
And never really kind of resonated until they later add the tagline that said, helping you navigate a new world.
Yeah.
So they had actually, when they were just had the, and they picked the name Magellan just because they thought it sounded cool. They kind of stumbled upon, you know, its intrinsic value, and then doubled down with the tagline, which then really brought it all together. So, you know, it was good for them. And when you mentioned somebody who had not necessarily a firm name, but had a moniker, was the word you used?
Yeah.
There's an attorney who's been on the show before here, Mitch Greenberg, who is a martial arts artist. That's one of the things we share in common, he and I. Although he does crazy stuff, he does arnis, which is Filipino stick fighting, which is incredibly painful in this application. Anyway, he had characterized himself and advertised himself as the law champion.
I like that.
Because he is a champion martial artist. And so you can play with that a little bit without getting too cheesy.
Yep, we fight for you. Yeah, no, you can.
That kind of thing. So let's finish the journey here. Let's talk about Scratch.
Sure. So Scratch.
And how that applies, differentiates from the previous acronym.
Okay, so Scratch, these are all the deal breakers. You don't want your name to have any of these because, and trust me, all of these things are problematic. So the thing to think about with Scratch is you want your name to be friction-free. You want to make the experience for clients, for prospective clients, to be as painless as possible, which means that, you know, your name is easy. So the S in Scratch stands for spelling. You don't want your name to be spelling challenge. If your name looks like a typo, scratch it off the list.
Yeah, okay, well, there again, I am so guilty. Because one of my secret regrets is naming this podcast The Law Entrepreneur. It's the most difficult word to spell.
It is. Yeah.
It's really, if I had it to do over again, I might try and think of a different name, but that's a perfect example. It's cumbersome. It gets in the way.
It is a mouthful of a word. And if you know what I would suggest with a word that is easily misspelled, like entrepreneur, is if you're getting a domain name for your name, as most people do, buy the misspellings of it too, and just have those redirect to the correct place.
Wonderful advice. Wonderful advice.
Thank you. The C in Scratch, and every trademark attorney listening to this can relate, copycat. You don't want your name to be a copycat. You know, I think the primary reason is, you know, why be somebody else when you can be yourself? But also, from a legal perspective, you do not want to open yourself up to infringement.
Right.
The R in Scratch stands for restrictive, and that's where you have a name, but it locks you in. So let's say, just trying to think, if you were practicing one kind of law, and like the fired up attorney, you know, that works for Lauren Vasquez doing cannabis, but if suddenly she went into healthcare, well, actually the fired up would work for anything because it helps. But yeah, you don't want your name to lock you in and prevent you from expanding. So that's something to think about.
Sure.
The A in Scratch stands for annoying, and annoying simply means that, you know, it's frustrating for people, and, you know, coming back to friction, you don't want there to be any of that. So annoying names are often like overly clever or cute. You know, maybe somebody spells something backwards, or you're using numbers in your name. I don't think attorneys are really guilty of doing a lot of the kind of cheesy, annoying things, but definitely you don't want your own name to get what, when I say annoying, you don't want to send someone an email and have it get bounced back because you spelled it wrong or,
right,
you know, anything like that.
I don't want to have to think, what does that mean? It's kind of like when I see the vanity license plate, and they're so that I can't figure out what they're trying to say, and then I wonder, is that really a vanity license plate, or is it?
Yeah. I agree. I totally agree. Don't make people guess. Yeah, your name shouldn't be ambiguous. Nothing about your business should be ambiguous. And then the T in Scratch stands for tame, and that just means that. And you know, you were talking about the Rockville family law, like that. No. You know, it's a little less tame because Rockville sounds like a location, but you don't want your name to be, you know, too descriptive. You know, again, getting into trademark issues. But you just don't want it to be flat. Your name needs to stand out. And if you think about your name as your law firm name appearing in a directory, as they often do, or on a list, you know, does your name just kind of blend in, or does it stand out? And this is something I, like when I was working with this attorney last week, coming up with names for his practice where he specializes in veterans. And then what I did with him is we looked at his names in comparison to all of his competitors. And so we would put his favorite names like in the mix so he could see like, how do these stand out? And that's a really good way to look at your name. Like, what's going to pop? Because I know, you know, a lot of times when people, how do people find attorneys? They ask for, you know, referrals from people. Hey, does anyone know an attorney that specializes in immigration law, for instance? And so they're just going to be looking at a bunch of names. You know, how is your name going to stand out? Is it going to speak to the person that's looking for help with immigration law, or is it just going to sound like somebody's last name?
Right.
The C in Scratch stands for curse. The second C stands for curse of knowledge. We talked a little bit about that with like being ambiguous, and the curse of knowledge, that's exactly what it is. It's either ambiguous, like, you know what it means. Like maybe it's a word that's so, you know, Latin, right? Because
I was going to say that's what they do. They throw a Latin phrase in their tagline or something.
Yeah.
It's too pretentious.
Totally pretentious. And like a lot of, you know, obviously attorneys know a lot of Latin, but the general public doesn't.
Right.
So, you know, your audience.
Just for the record, attorneys don't know that much Latin.
They don't? I just think they do. Caveat.
Everybody thinks they know. Yeah.
That's interesting.
There's a few phrases that we all know and that mean something, but the vast majority of us, you list on one hand, I think, in my humble opinion, the Latin terms that they use on a regular basis. But
that's good to know.
Yeah, we have that perception. Yeah. And last but not least, the H.
Hard to pronounce.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, and you know, is your last name hard to pronounce? You know, so many people do have them. Or just is your brand name hard to pronounce? So yeah, that's Boylan Scratch.
Well, I love that. Now, I'm curious as to, you know, if a law firm wants to work with you, are you getting firms that are looking to rebrand and change their name from their existing name, or are you getting firms that are starting up and want to start up with a really special name, or all of the above?
All of the above, but traditionally it's lawyers that want to position themselves and rebrand with a name other than their own person.
And then are you working with a branding agency beyond what you do in conjunction with the attorneys, or are you providing a whole turnkey kind of approach? Because I know, like, for instance, your website and your brand, immediately I got the whole color scheme, the whole vibe. And I'm just wondering, you also kind of working in that realm as well.
We do names and taglines, and we have partners that we work with for identity design and everything else. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But yeah. Right. But I wrote all the copy on our website because I used to be a copywriter, as I mentioned.
Yeah. Which is a talent and a skill in and of itself.
Oh, yeah. God.
Again,
yes.
We could do a whole show on copywriting that attorneys, myself included, pay so little attention to. And we write the copy on our websites that we think is appropriate and would resonate with the audience, but it doesn't. And I'll tell you a perfect example. On my website, the single most viewed page and the one that gets responded to the most is where I just talk about my family and I have a picture of my wife and with the dog. Right? It has nothing to do with all the legal stuff that I wrote, all the descriptions of the services that I provide. No, it's the people connect with the picture of my family and the dog and maybe the videos.
I love that. No, people want to work with people they like and can relate to, right?
Yeah. Somebody said to me one time that what they really liked was the first page that came to. It wasn't buried, you know, somewhere on the website that I put my family, my children, the dog, you know, up front.
I love that.
That's a copyright issue. You were kind enough to send me your book. As I said, Hello, My Name is Awesome, How to Create Brand Needs Stick. For the audience, it's a fun read. I mean, it's really fun. It's a conversational. It's breezy. There are parts in here that might make you blush, which really I thoroughly enjoyed.
Can we say what made you blush? Because I know what it was. It was the San Francisco nail salon that I named.
Yep.
Can I say the name?
Of course you can.
Okay. I don't know. It's Hand Job.
I just thought that was hysterical. I was sitting down and my wife was here and I would just started laughing out loud. And like, what a phenomenal name for a manicure salon.
Thank you.
Just particularly given the whole scenario, as you said, this location.
Yeah. It's in San Francisco. It's in the Castro, which is the most historic gay neighborhood in the country. And it's like a couple doors down from where Harvey Milk had his camera shop. So yeah, it gets a lot of attention.
It was wonderful. But anyway, so I urge our listeners, if you're thinking about this, go grab Alexandra's book to start with. And then if you want to follow up, Alexandra, you've got a number of other things that you offer people, courses and master classes. I know from looking at your website. Why don't you plug those a little bit so that if anybody wants to tap into that, they can.
Thank you. Yeah. And if you go to eatmywords.com, first of all, there's a lot of free resources. You can take our smile and scratch test. Just click on test a name and you can run your name through there and see how you fare. I have a free mini masterclass on the site. We have, and then I have a full masterclass. That's a great course that walks you through step by step how to create a name. And and like I said, I have a new package called Fun Size. I think most people listening to your show would qualify for that if they want. It doesn't have to necessarily be a fun name for an attorney. We love working with attorneys because they're smart and there's so much opportunity trademark wise because there's a lot of names haven't been taken. Unlike some fields, like, you know, if you're doing healthcare names or technology, those are really difficult. But yeah, law firms seem to be pretty wide open.
Well, yeah, they're wide open, and in large part because of the inertia that we all named, you know, the Tyrell law firm or the law firm of.
Yeah, and I just want to tell, it's never been easier to change your name. Because when you change your name, you just do a website redirect, and that will seamlessly redirect to your new site. You can let people know you have everyone's email address. It's a great excuse to get back in touch with past clients and tell them why you changed your name. There's social media. So there's really, and we just renamed a bank that's more than 100 years old. So if they can do it, you can do it. Yeah,
absolutely. And, you know, we sometimes think, there's just so much to do to rebrand, and I just don't want to have to go through. I mean, I don't have to change my mailing address. So that's a big pain. But if you look at it from the other perspective, the opportunity is, you know, really rich, particularly in the legal space, because so few of your competitors have unique brand names. So
yeah,
it's something we should think about. Alexandra, thank you ever so much for taking the time to be with us. I really do appreciate it. I'm hoping to get back out to the San Diego area, maybe play a little more golf out there. And I'd love to stop by and have that cup of coffee or adult beverage with you when we can.
Yeah, come to our tiki bar. We have a tiki bar.
Well, you had me right there.
You had me at tiki bar.
Okay.
Awesome.
Thanks
to you all.
Alexandra, for being on The Law Entrepreneur.
Thank you.
Well, there you have it, boys and girls, another episode of The Law Entrepreneur. I want to thank our sponsors for this episode, our good friends at Ruby. I can't say enough about Ruby. As you know, they've been my virtual receptionist for years now. Couldn't be happier with them, and I really urge all of you, if you need a virtual receptionist, that you give Ruby a chance. Also, Net Profit CFO, as I've mentioned before, Ryan Kimler was a guest on the program some time ago. I liked what he had to say so much, I became a client. And then after I became a client, he became a sponsor. So very happy about that arrangement. If you want to take your understanding of your financials in your law firm to that next step beyond just what your bookkeeper gives you back, give Ryan a call at Net Profit CFO. I don't think you'll be disappointed. If you enjoyed this podcast, do me the great favor of leaving a positive rating and review wherever you listen to your podcast. It really helps with the opportunity for us to get in front of other people. And until next week, I wish you all the best, and we'll see you again here on Law Entrepreneur.